Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows featured on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez, alternating in weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun show that is featured on the first and third Tuesdays of each month. Rally with none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with David and Jeanette Ewing. We have such a fun and informative lineup of shows, and we hope that you try them all. Tonight, we're going to be learning about Witchfest North International Arts and Culture Festival. Witchfest North is an arts and culture festival that takes place annually in October. And while it is felt that every season is a season of the witch, there is agreement that in the Northern Hemisphere, this is a time when the veil is thin and ancestral veneration is celebrated by many. Witchfest North is a month-long arts and culture festival, now in its fifth year, entirely run by volunteers, an advisory circle composed of a minimum of 15 members of the pagan and non-pagan community from a wide variety of cultures, ages, gender identification, and professions who share their vision for a communal future. Tonight, I'm very excited to introduce to our listeners the founder, Monica Bodirsky. Monica is a professional artist, author, advisor, charter herbalist, and first-generation settler of the Northern, Eastern, and Southern European heritage. As a divination specialist and tarot reader for over 40 years and a follower of the Shadow Path, her work promotes personal growth, empowerment, transformative ways of working with unacknowledged spiritual and creative energies. A sought-after speaker at many local and international conferences, most recently she has offered classes at the Reader Studio in New York, TABI, Tarot Association of the British Isles, the Witch City Tarot Gathering in Salem, and is a co-presenter at the Witch Institute, Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. Monica has taught at the Sheridan College in Oakville, Ontario, for many years, and is a sessional faculty at the OCAD University in Tacaronto, teaching design and sustainability, as well as drawing. She offers art residencies and coaching sessions regularly and is the founder of CAT, the Coffee and Tarot Society, and works as a consultant for film, novels, and TV, including being hired to offer tarot lessons to the legendary Diana Carroll. We're going to talk about that tonight. That's interesting. When not writing or creating tools for spiritual growth and creative guidance, she works with magical herbs and mentors a local coven. She is also the founder and programmer of Witchfest North International Arts and Culture Festival, and is the co-founder of EMMA, International Museum of Mystical Arts Online. I am so excited to talk to her tonight. As we talk with her, she also has created tarot decks. So if you'd like to learn more about her or to purchase items from her shop, including her beautiful tarot decks, or purchase a witch life coaching session, please go to her website, which is www.monicabodirsky.com. That's MONICABODIRSKY.com. And to learn more about Witchfest North, go to www.witchfestnorth.org. Let's welcome Monica to Circle Talk. Welcome, Monica.
Well, thank you very much, Deborah. Thank you for that very wonderful introduction. It's an honor, and I'm thrilled to be here.
I know. I'm so excited. So where to begin? Just has your family, I'd like to say this year, year and a half has been so life-changing for many people. I hope that you and your family have been safe through this pandemic and all of these things that have been going on.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, it certainly has been very life-altering. And fortunately, we're all safe, we're all healthy, and we're doing pretty well considering everything. And I hope the same for your family.
Absolutely. We were very, very, very fortunate. And I saw there were some changes with the festival because of it. Before we get into that, though, tell me, how did this idea of a festival even come to you? I am friends with someone who started another pagan festival years ago, and so I know from him how much work that is and how much goes into that. So it's kudos to you. It's quite an undertaking. So tell us how this seed got started.
Wow, yeah. Well, you know, like a lot of projects and festivals and ideas, I am a creative person, so I'm always coming up with ideas. And I really did enjoy going to the festivals that were here in Tacoronto, but they're, I don't know, a lot of us are solitary practitioners, and we identify a little bit as fringe dwellers for a variety of reasons. And I thought it would be nice to incorporate creativity specifically with witchcraft and witchcraft practices, paganism, heathens, all sorts of identities, and try to bring those kind of siloed individual groups together into one space. And I thought, well, that's big, so let's make it the whole month of October. And then, you know, what really sparked it was we had a very archaic section of our criminal code here in Canada that was Section 365. And it, in 2017, on June 6th, a bill was introduced to amend this portion of the criminal code, which made pretending to practice witchcraft illegal. And it was a very outdated law from Great Britain, where witchcraft had been prohibited outright. And while it didn't say you couldn't be a witch, it said anyone who is pretending to use witch sorcery, enchantments, conjuration of any kind, or to tell fortunes or pretends to have knowledge of occult or crafty science. I mean, this was from the 1800s, and it was not only targeting minority culture, but also, you know, conflating fraudulent activity with witchcraft. And I thought, since that was being repealed, we should celebrate. And I kind of asked a couple of close friends, you know, who probably didn't know what they were getting involved with, and just kind of said, hey, kids, let's put on a festival, very naively and without a single penny, really. But you know what? We did it, and we had really great attendance right away, and it's just been loads of fun and, yes, hard work, but lots of growth, and it's just been a great experience.
I have been to lots of festivals, but I'm more familiar with festivals that are either a weekend or a week long, and you kind of go there and camp or you stay in the hotel. Do people stay at a hotel for a month long, or is it a festival you come and go? Tell us about what the festival looks like.
Wow. Well, because it involved a lot of different activities and people and spaces and whatever spaces we could rent, it's all over the city, and it is an urban festival. We usually have festivals where people go to, you know, fields or up north or quiet spaces, but I really did want to leave it in the city for accessibility. So it's actually a string of events, and we had some international visitors and some people from other parts of Canada, But for the most part, it was bringing Torontonians together, or Tacoronto. And it's only since we went online last year that we've become international. And for all of the distancing and the difficulty with not actually seeing people, that was quite the pivot for everyone, I'm sure. But brought us, it brought accessibility to people who wouldn't normally be able to fly here or stay in hotels. So that that's expanded, and it will again this year. So people from all over are joining us now.
So this year, like last year, there will not be any in-person events. It will all be all virtual.
That's right. I wanted to keep this safe, and while I understand that we might be anxious to have things going again, a lot of it was indoors in smaller venues, tighter spaces, and handling of merchandise. And
right.
I'm not entirely certain, even with vaccinations, unfortunately, this new variant might cause a problem. And you have to plan really far in advance. So we made that call really early on in the year in January, right when we were heading into the third wave. So, yeah, we're going to play it safe again this year.
Is it? How do you access it? Is it per Zoom or Facebook, or is there another platform?
We're using Zoom. We might do some Facebook streaming. We're not entirely certain yet, but for the most part, we've had a fair bit of success
Live.
With Zoom.
Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, most people can access that. I have been to my partner is not. He is not a Facebook person, and so we signed up for something and he couldn't even access it because he doesn't have Facebook. So that's really, I think Zoom is really, really good. So I was excited to see that one of your featured musicians is Wendy Rule. She's wonderful. I had her on my podcast and she had a concert at Pagan Spirit Gathering at Circle Sanctuary this year. She's a fabulous musician and artist.
Oh, she sure is. We were absolutely thrilled, and, we're looking so forward to having her perform. We've been listening to her music for a really long time, so it's a real thrill to have her as part of this celebration.
Can you give me some, do you have other musicians, or can you give me examples of, like, some of the classes or events or things that people will have access to participate in?
Oh, for sure. Wow, over 5 years, we've had so many different arts events. We had the Witch's Ball, which unfortunately we're going to have to wait till we can hold that in person again. But some of the really exciting things that we're having are we're having the Sisters of Midnight Artisan Market. We're having an art series on Fridays, which is film, art, crafting with sustainable practice, and an author. We're having Witching Wednesdays, which each Wednesday is featuring a different person. We have Chris Gerke talking about the poison path and Amy Lou Taylor discussing the witch's broom. Ooh, we have our Dark Moon Coven with guests. That's an open full moon ritual. There's so many. And we also have CATS, which is the Coffee and Tarot Society, with special guests. And that is every Tuesday and features different people discussing divination. We are having the wonderfully talented Laura Gonzalez, and several other people are assisting. And on Sundays, we have a witchy wellness series with Rochelle Holt of Wonderworks. And on Saturday, we're having Shelley Carter talk about altars, and Dmitry Korolev is coming from Ukraine, and he's going to be discussing European cartomancy. And not to forget the Samhain closing ritual. And that art series on Fridays will have The Witch in Media with Lisa East, Hilma Ask Clint and the Spirit of Matter with artist Lisa Christenzo, and Crafting a Sustainable Practice is with Rowanna Katigback, and author, Witching and Writing, author Kristen Dunyon. So, my goodness, I haven't even told you every single thing, but I think you're getting an idea of what to expect this year.
Oh, yeah, it sounds really, really exciting. So basically, you can check in and tune in for the things during the month that you're interested in or that you have availability for.
Yeah, on July 26th, we're going to have an early bird special for a festival pass, and we're also offering tickets for each of the events if people only want to attend, pick and choose some of the events. And that'll be up on our website as well as through our Facebook.
Okay.
The link will be to Eventbrite, and we'll make sure we post that on our Instagram as well and keep that on our social media.
Okay. All right. So if we're all interested, we just go July 26th to the website at
www.witchfestnorth.org,
and it will give us information on how to register.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You'll be able to purchase your tickets through Eventbrite, and you'll be able to follow the link there.
All right. That sounds – it's really, really – And again, I'm somebody who I like networking. I like meeting people. I love classes. I'm kind of a reading junkie. So I have missed in-person festivals, but I have to say what I've learned over this past year and a half with virtual festivals, you know, I don't live anywhere near California, but I'm able to attend things that I could not take off work or I couldn't afford to attend because it's virtual, much like this festival. So, you know, I agree once COVID comes down and we're all vaccinated and this becomes a memory, I think festivals will come back. But what do you think, Monica? I think the virtual component is here to stay in some respects.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And we have an advisory circle, and just the volunteers and myself, we chat about that, and everyone is in agreement that even when things do return to whatever the new normal is going to be and people can move around or travel again, it is really a better idea to leave certain things accessible to those who, for whatever reason, can't travel. And, you know, build a global community here. So, you know, the festival will be hybrid, definitely. We won't go back to completely physical. We'll keep parts of it online. And even when the festival is not on in October, what we've done is we've kept the Coffee and Tarot Society as well as Open Witching Wednesdays once a month throughout the year, so that people still have access and still feel linked to the community.
Oh, that's absolutely, I mean, that's great. Yeah, I think so. And it's funny, people have learned over this past year. I know some of the few, like I remember the first, early on, like March of 2000, I mean, early on, I remember the first virtual ritual I attended was, it was, looking back, it was now comical because nobody was used to that. And I remember they kind of tried to do it the same way they did it in person, but just had a computer there. And so when she called the quarters, that we never saw her. She kept walking out of the place. And so I have to say, myself included, I was not used to that. It's a different type of animal. And I know Selena Fox, Circle Sanctuary, really helped me do this and do that. And I looked at Circle, just had taken Spirit Gathering, and it was so professionally done. So I have to say, I think as a community, we've really learned this past year on how to do virtual events, how to do ritual, how to really connect people virtually, because I think that's a skill set that is a new skill set for a lot of us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I've had the pleasure of meeting Selena. She actually came to our Witchfest North Festival because she was here for the Parliament of the World's Religions. And she was just wonderful in this, and she used her physical space beautifully and helped us with our closing Samhain ritual. And it's really nice to know that that she was taking to Zoom really well. I know that our first coven meetings with Zoom were a teeny bit awkward. We were all just kind of staring ahead and interrupting one another, like it bop bloop, like cutting one another off. It was a little it was a little funky to begin with.
It's actually funny, and again, I think these are going to be stories in the upcoming years that we'll tell people. You know, especially the younger generation, they grew up on an iPhone, so this is very familiar with them. But a lot of this was new for me. But I guess the biggest lesson I learned holding ritual in classes on Zoom is you have to mute people, because in the middle of ritual, somebody's husband opens the door and yells, "Is there anything in this house to eat?" It's just really funny. So I learned the hard way on how to do things. But said there are many people who are not only solitary, like many of us, but also live in a secluded area. And I'm very fortunate. I live in an area and I run a public group and there's lots of people here, but some people don't. And I think that's the way. I've talked to so many people through Circle Talk who said this has really become like an online coven community for them that they did not even know existed and support. And they really feel like their practice has grown from the online presence of festivals like yours.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's really, I agree with you completely. I think it's bringing people together in ways that we couldn't have even imagined. So through a terrible tragedy with COVID, it still helped so many people feel less isolated during this time overall. And people who may not come out to festivals, because as you say, you could just be physically located in an area that doesn't allow it, or you could have physical issues that wouldn't, you know, allow you to come to things. So, yeah, I agree with you completely. It's really made a difference.
Yeah, well, I will encourage our listeners and to check Witchfest North out on July 26th, and that is not too far in the future. So hopefully that I will see you online. Are you all going to have a gathering place or like a coffee area or somewhere online in Zoom that people can chat?
Well, we probably will.
That's interesting, you know, because some festivals have and some haven't. And I was surprised. A lot of people really, really like that. And I guess if you've been to an in-person festival, you know, people always gather in groups. And it's kind of an open room, and so I just wondered. Some festivals didn't, and I've seen some who it was really, really, it was really well attended. So I just wondered.
Yeah, it is interesting. We've used the rooms feature before. We haven't used it particularly to socialize because we've had workshops and presentations that people want to be part of, but we have used
it
when we had tarot readings and divination, and then we had one of our moderators, Stephanie, put people into rooms with tarot readers, so it was really an interesting transition.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Well, is there anything else about this festival you would like to tell us other than everyone needs to register on July 26th?
Well, that would certainly be the big message. I think to help us celebrate the 5th anniversary, let us know you're out there and not to be shy, not to be worried about this being a clique. We are really as uncliquey as you could possibly find anywhere. We're a mishmash of people, and while some people do know one another from attending the festival and being online, there's always new people. People come and go, and it's a very open, warm space. I just want people not to feel intimidated at all. You don't have to be from any one particular tradition or culture or belief system or age. We're trying to reach out across all of those divides and unite community through our pluralism. And this year's theme is Maiden, Mother, and Crone, sharing knowledge intergenerationally. So we'd be especially thrilled if people in the 95-plus, you know, area who might be tech savvy and or, you know, younger people in late teens, early 20s wanted to come out, because I think that's really vital when we have conversations that cross those age divides and unite us all. So that is something I would really like to mention, that it is an inclusive gathering and to everyone to feel welcome.
Absolutely, and I will spread the word in my public group. I'm interested in you. I told you a little bit before the show, I hadn't known much about you, and I did some research, and now I could just sit here. Unfortunately, our show is only about 50 minutes long. I could talk to you for hours. How did you get started on this path? Were you raised pagan? Or tell me about how this began for you.
Well, I wasn't raised pagan, but I was raised in a household with absolutely no religion. And I guess the spirituality would be more nature lovers, nature-based. And we have familial gifts of dreaming true and seership and history of offering advice to people in small villages in Europe. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, when my parents emigrated post-war, they wanted us to assimilate very badly. And so there wasn't a lot of talk about mysticism, but I grew up at a time in the 60s and 70s where the Munsters and the Addams Family and ESP was a big deal. And I saw that as part of pop culture. It kind of made me feel less isolated for the gifts that I had, which my dad later referred to as more of a family problem. But and that isn't to cast aspersions on it. It is just an indication of how much people were persecuted and still are for anything resembling something that is not Christian or a major faith or religion. So they kind of let me explore that on my own, and there was this tacit understanding. You know, we kind of lived in a haunted house. There was no getting around that.
Ooh.
Everyone tried to ignore it, which was kind of comical at times, but, you know, because it was so ridiculous when you have 10 witnesses to things, and then people just go, well, anyway, what's
didn't happen.
You know, that happened. Exactly right. So all of these things combined, and of course, I was a bit of an avid reader even as a little kid, and I remember taking a book out of something that we had in Tacoronto called the Bookmobile, which was a mobile library unit for people who lived outside of the city core and even parts of the downtown area. And I remember when I was about 10 or 11, I took out this hardcover book that reeked of patchouli oil, and it was all about witchcraft, and I just went, aha, I see, this is where I'm landing, I think. You know, that it just kind of all came together at the same time I received a tarot deck as a gift, and I was just surrounded by it in so many ways. It just didn't really have a finite beginning or ending, but that's sort of how I got on this path, I guess.
Did you openly study and practice, or did it come later as a, you know, in early 20s, or did you, from the age of 10, you said you found your first tarot deck at 10?
It was gifted to me by a friend who didn't like it, didn't want it. And I was reading that book on witchcraft, and I just identified as a witch. But I couldn't really find groups. Because of my age, all the cool witchy people were already teenagers and bona fide hippies who went to communes. And it was like, ooh, I was really, really shy. And I thought, there's no way I could do that. So I couldn't approach established groups. So I just studied on my own from books. So when young people tell me now that they're reading a lot of books and learning about this, I'm thinking, well, yeah, a lot of us did that too. Not everyone joined a coven. As far as openly practicing, because I'm not Wiccan, I think it was more in the form of spells and identifying as maybe folk healing and witchcraft practices and dreaming and divination. They probably fall into more of a category of practical magic and less veneration, even though I was usually covered in wild animals because that happens with witches. I was pretty open about being into earth-based spirituality and careful about who I said witch to for the longest time because, well, professional credibility generally got and still does get thrown out the window. For some reason, people have a hard time believing that you are, you can believe in both science, be logical, and be a witch. For some reason, everyone finds those things impossible to connect.
I totally agree. And I really, really like on your website, and I encourage our readers to go to your website. And you have a tab that talks about the W word and basically that word very, very well written. Talk a little bit about that. It was very, very well written.
Oh, well, thank you. I think the word witch, I mean, what a complex word. And clearly comes from a space of negative connotations and difficult history. And in most cultures, European as well, not just indigenous cultures, the word inherently did mean evil because cunning folk and wise women often would find witches and spare you, you know, and reverse witchcraft. So they even had different names. So the contemporary use of the word witch, though, is very much tied in with feminism and with how we're reclaiming the right to power as women and call ourselves witches, which unfortunately often gets, you know, people use that as a joke to describe any nasty women. And I say witches heal, and it's time to at least show the diversity in that witch. I'm not here to dictate ethics. If somebody wants to throw curses or hexes as a witch, that's their business, and those people exist. But, you know, it shouldn't be this one-dimensional trope of what a witch is. So it is very politicized now, and it is, and that's good as far as I'm concerned, because historically I think people have been terrified of women's power and women's ability to give birth and to end life as palliative care people and end life with certain herbs, the power to cure and to kill. And that kind of horrified a lot of the patriarchal Europe, at least. And I think it's time to reclaim power and right use of power for yourself and say that power in itself is not evil. You know, we have individual ethics. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with the term. It's very much about reclaiming that and saying, yep, I'm going to call myself that. And it's disarming, right? When people did that with the word queer, that was very much an inspiration to me because to be called queer when I was growing up was an insult and a horrible weapon.
Right.
When the gay community took back that word and said, yeah, I am queer and I'm proud, that was the most amazing influence and to watch that transformation and to take that weapon away from oppressors and to claim that is just amazing to me. Language is so powerful and so complex.
I agree. And I really like the verbiage that you have, and I don't have it in front of me, that basically says, witches are no gender, no race, different spirituality. You know, we all shapes, sizes. I really, really, really like that. So there is enough room for all.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Because, yes, there are guy witches. There are every type of witch. You know, it doesn't have to be that, you know, stereotypical witch. And, you know, that's an interesting thing, too. Part of having Witchfest North in October, you know, we're witches. We get to wear the pointy hat and joke around if we want. Do you know what
right.
I mean? To me,
absolutely.
We get to say that because that we get to poke fun at that. It's when it comes from outside and it's used as an instrument of hate or intolerance that is
right.
not okay. And I know that that can be very controversial within the witch and pagan community. People say you're only reinforcing stereotypes. But you know what? I say if when you take something and you kind of laugh at it and you have fun with it, you're disarming the power of it to harm.
I think you just normalize it. And I've taught so many public classes and where people, you know, listen and they're like, that's it? I go, yeah, I mean, what did you think it was? I mean, so
absolutely.
So absolutely. And when you take away fear, then lots of times what I find is then hopefully curiosity is replaced. And then all of a sudden I've had people, now they ask questions and they're interested. And they may not be interested in pursuing this path themselves, but they start thinking about it. So maybe later in their life, if they meet someone who's a witch, they won't have the same negative connotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I learned a great deal of how to, I think, come or create community in the many years I was volunteering and working within the Indigenous community here in Tacoronto because Indigenous people here have suffered through residential school and such a fracturing of community from colonization that was also a huge inspiration and teachings offered to me from many people who had to pull together community that was fractured. And I truly appreciated that and have learned a lot from that as well.
Great. Well, tell me, and this is simply curiosity. It is not a profound statement. Tell me about being hired to teach tarot to Diane Ross.
Oh, Diane Carroll.
Diane Carroll, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, that just kind of happened. I wasn't advertising or particularly looking to offer my tarot skills to actors or anyone in particular, but somebody came into Wonderworks, which is a shop run by Rochelle Holt, and at that time I was offering tarot readings in her shop. And I was on vacation, actually, and somebody left a note saying that she was trying to find a tarot consultant for a film. And when I came back, I just, from vacation, it was about a week after, I thought, oh, okay, I'll just give her a call. And she said, okay, well, we worked out cost and timing and where the crew was parked, their trailers were parked. And I said, yeah, no problem. I can come down. And she just said, well, our star needs some tarot lessons and to be familiar with the deck if you can come to her trailer and you know, offer some coaching and whatever. I said, yeah, sure, I can do that.
So
and
you didn't know who it was at that time.
Well, right before she hung up, okay, and this was about a half an hour before I had to be there, she said, I don't know if you've heard of her. It's Diane Carroll. I was like, yeah, you'd have to be pretty much, right? How could you not know who she is?
Yeah.
So I drove all the way down there, like, in a daze, thinking, I am so nervous. Like, what am I going to say to this woman? I guess it's a typical, like, sputtering of, oh, my God, I love you so much. Like, I'm just going to trip over my own words and, you know, drop all the cards. To make a long story short, she was absolutely such a wonderful, gracious, you know, kind. I can't believe, I mean, this was not that long ago, so she was already well into her 70s, and I'm not exaggerating. She looked about 45. She was absolutely stunning and just really interested in the cards. And, you know, we had to cram into a really small trailer, and I don't know
right.
if you've ever been in a trailer, but, you know, the little table between was like about a foot and a half across. And it was just like, you know, so I was right, we were right in each other's faces. It was a little intimidating for me, to be honest. But like I said, she was such a gracious person. She put me at ease. I was also on the set, like I had to wait on set and go to a location and be inside for the interior shots of these two Lifetime films. And, you know, hold your breath when the director yells rolling, because, you know, there were 100 of us jammed into a tiny room. And
wow.
also consult on what cards to use. And, you know, so it looked authentic, and to consult on whether the decor looked right or not. I have one of my crystal balls in the film, and it was
that
just to
so
lend
fun.
Authenticity. So it actually was. Anyone who's ever worked on a film will tell you, you eat way too much, like every 3 hours at the craft truck, because you're either bored or exhausted. And,
right.
You know, I had to calm a lot of folks down who aren't used to raccoons and actually say that it's okay. They will not rip your face off. Some people from Los Angeles were a little stressed about the raccoons.
Oh, that's so
it
fun.
It was loads
Do you
of,
remember the name of the film?
It was loads of fun. Oh, the film? At Risk was one of them. And, oh, my gosh, I
that's
can't
so
even
fun.
Remember the other one. At Risk, but they're both based on books by Patricia Cornwell. She's a wonderful mystery
yeah.
author. And, yeah. You know, it was great fun. They shot both of those films together. So I was only on the set for a few days. But it was quite an experience I won't ever forget, and it really put me on my toes. And let's just say I got rid of nerves I might have for other teaching. I figured if I could live through that kind of stress, you know, teaching, you know, everyday folks, you know, or at least people I'm not in awe of, let's just say, you know, that made it a lot easier.
That is so fun. Yeah, that is a great story. That is just so fun. So you've been practicing tarot for quite a while. When did you start reading other people?
I started, believe it or not, the second I got those cards, I said, okay, I'll just offer my friends a reading. And it was loads of fun. The deck was quite a horrible knockoff of a Rider-Waite-Smith deck. But I was a pretty avid reader as a kid, and I had Arthur Edward Waite's book. And I started really early reading both intuitively and reading by using the book. So because
mm-hmm.
I'd always done that, I continued to do that and offered readings. I left it for a little while in my early 20s because I found that, I don't know, it was an awkward time for me anyway. And I think people gravitated towards me. It almost felt kind of like a freak show. Do you know what I mean? Like
mm-hmm.
people wanted me as
You're on
entertainment.
Display.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was developing unhealthy relations for me, so I left it for a little bit and then started up again in my late 20s and offered readings for a pretty reasonable price. And I've been reading for over 40 years now, and I'm still learning.
That is wonderful. So do you still read? And I know you did readings in WonderWorks. Do you still read in the shop, or do you do online?
No, I stopped reading in shops, and what I wanted to set up with the Coffee and Tarot Society was with a friend, Lisa East, who had been working in coffee shops, was to bring tarot readers to various coffee shops and very small coffee shops that could use, I guess, some audience that might find that interesting, as well as, you know, tarot people who would be buying coffee. So bringing all sorts of mutual business associations there. So, no, I stopped doing that for a while, actually, and had people come to my home for readings. And I have a very select kind of clientele, and I don't mean that to sound snobby. I just mean when you have people in your home, you kind of have to make sure that they're okay. Do you know what I mean? And that you're safe and they're in your sacred space. I do a lot of online readings now, though, and I do them distance readings. I do email readings and on the phone. And I don't find that that is a barrier at all for me.
Absolutely. And it's funny, I've had a lot of people who do readings say that, that they do you do Zoom readings, that they've not had any problems with switching their practice from in-person to other modalities.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's been great.
So, well, we only have about 10 minutes, and I'm going to have to bring you back because you created your own tarot deck. So what was your inspiration behind that?
Oh, let's see. Well, I think a lot of the things that I experienced growing up, for sure, it was kind of a cumulative thing, especially in stylistically, I think between you know, the Addams Family and Edward Gorey and this kind of lighthearted spookiness. I thought, since that's my taste and my style, that would work really well to introduce the topic of shadow work. And there are a lot of people out there who do shadow work, and I think it's really important as far as healing goes. And I follow something called the shadow path tradition. So that was really an inspiration, because there wasn't a deck out there I found that was not kind of gothic and dark. And quite honestly, shadow work can be difficult enough without seeing the Headless Horseman. So I thought, why not make this a bit lighter? And the deck can be used, which is why it's called the Shadowland Tarot, but the deck can be used for shadow work or as a regular Rider-Waite-Smith style deck. You can do either, but I really wanted to offer people, again, a niche to find, I guess, aspects of themselves. If those, if your listeners aren't familiar with shadow work, that's a psychological term that was coined by Carl Jung. And for me, it also has a meaning of shadows and spirits. But Carl Jung meant this in aspects of ourselves that are considered unacceptable by society or rejected by ourselves. And so we stuff them to the dark recesses of our mind. And the problem with that is it often gets projected onto others if we're concerned about, we don't like how we spend money on things, and we don't want to admit that we just spend it everywhere. We might turn to somebody and say, maybe you shouldn't buy all of those things. You're spending too much money. We're projecting it onto others without even accepting that aspect of ourselves. So shadow work, and when you do it, you become an integrated person. You become you accept those parts of yourself. It isn't to beat yourself up and say, oh, I'm horrid. It's to look in the mirror and go, look, I'm a complete person. I have some faults and flaws, and it's okay. No shadows, no light. They all go together. There's a balance. So that was a real important thing for me. And, I see spirits. I see them in shadows. So I thought, let's just put all of this together into something and call it the Shadowland Tarot. I've also created a Shadowland Lenormand deck because I also love Lenormand. And that's coming out this September. If people would like to pre-order, it's on Amazon.
Okay. That is real. So they is there information about it on your website?
Yeah, there is. I believe I've mentioned it in a few spots and certainly on social media on my Instagram, which, you know, if you can spell the name Monica Bodierski, which you spelled very kindly at the beginning, thank you, I appreciate it, then you can find me on Instagram or Facebook. And I have a YouTube channel as well, so I pretty much mentioned it everywhere.
Oh, great. Well, then I'm going to spell it one more time. It's www.monicabodierski. It's MonicaBodierski.com. Yes, I don't phonetically spell well because I learned to read so young. And so, yeah, I'm somebody who has to spell everything out because I can't spell stuff out. So, yeah, I have found that if listeners do that, they'll write it down and then they'll go to the website. So,
thank you. That's very helpful.
You've got a lot of fun stuff coming up in the fall. You're going to have a busy fall, girl.
And I want to give a big shout out to all of the volunteers and all of the people who've spent so much of their time, and a lot of people don't have tons of time. It's a labor of love, and I really, really appreciate what everyone's done, friends and supporters, in putting this festival together. This is going to be a fifth anniversary celebration. I'm really looking forward to it. And last year was a little more difficult because we weren't that familiar with holding anything on Zoom. And because, as you mentioned, most of us have become familiar with it, it'll be a lot easier. So busy, but I think it's going to be great fun.
Oh, absolutely. The different events that you have, are you having something that I do think that folks have struggled with on a virtual thing? Are you going to have a marketplace where people can buy items? I know that is like a witch mall is like such a big draw for people when they go to festivals. Because a lot of people, I mean, people can shop online, but people like to see things. Do you have access where you have vendors that people can purchase things at your festival?
Yeah. I may have mentioned the artisan market. Actually, this year's artisan market is the Practical Magic Artisan Market, and Rowena Katigback, one of our busiest volunteers and very, very helpful, is key in putting together the artisan market. We're going to have, my guess would be about 14 vendors on Saturday the 9th, October 9th. And yes, you know, people are coming to shop. Everybody gets their table ready. They're going to have their items, witchcrafted items, labeled, ready to roll, and then people are just gonna, you know, pounce on those items with a code in the chat section. So absolutely, and hopefully this is where Witchfest North is acting as a bit of an incubator for small business too. So yeah, please everybody come out to that artisan market. It's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. And again, I think that is a big draw for a lot of people when they attend fest, whether in person or virtual, to actually get things. And I am somebody, and I know many of my friends, when we go places, we like to buy at least something from someone who, you know, that's handcrafted, and you know, it's just one or two people and it's small, and you know, they don't have a store. And so yeah, it we're just really, really lucky. I think the internet, unfortunately, although I think it's wonderful, has gobbled up a lot of local new age and occult stores in many towns. So I would like to, you know, support small vendors as much as we can.
Yeah, for sure. And I think One thing I forgot to mention was one of our key volunteers, Stephanie Days, has been really helpful and amazing in putting together, well, not only a lot of our admin and as a contact person, but also in the artwork that we've had. We have a really thriving arts community, and she's curated a number of pieces of artwork over the years in a live gallery, but now we're also going to have that on our website, so not to miss that as well. That's going to be up all month and probably archived, so you'll be able to see artwork from witch and pagan and earth-based spiritual artisans as well.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Well, congrats to you. Does it seem, I mean, you started this 5 years ago, and it was your baby in the beginning. Does it seem like it's just grown since what you envisioned?
It is what I've envisioned, and I think it has grown. What I find really interesting is that the people who have come back are really invested in the community. I think in our first year, there were a lot of people who were curious and just came out of curiosity. But now we have some really dedicated people, and we're building an international community. And I think that's really amazing. We've knocked down a lot of barriers that I wasn't expecting to. So it's actually a little better than I envisioned that way, as far as our reach and as far as dedication goes. Yeah.
Well, I'm very excited. And I really want to thank you. I know you're super busy, and I really want to thank you for taking the time to introduce yourself to the Circle Talk fans and to tell us about your festival.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been really nice to talk to you, and I'm really honored to have been a guest. So thank you so much for taking the time and having me here. I appreciate it very much.
And you will, I'm going to be bugging you in about 6 months, because I want you to come back and tell me about your new deck that comes out in September. So I'm very excited about that.
Sounds great. Well,
and
thank
remember,
you so much, Deborah.
If you would like more information on Witchfest North, you can go to their website at www.witchfestnorth.org, and you'll for sure want to go to the website on July 26th. That's when a festival pass and information about registration is going to be there. And if you would like to learn more or purchase items from Monica's shop, including her beautiful tarot deck, or purchase a Witch Life coaching session, please go to her website. And it's MonicaBodirsky.com. Besides Monica, I'd like to thank Jeanette and David, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And finally, I'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Our next Circle Talk will be Tuesday, August 2nd. I look forward to being with you all again, so please come back. We're now going to transition our show with a musical selection. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Some night and shining moon. sword and ringing of the altar bell. We tie a knot within our cord to bind our magic in a spell. Mother of the summer fields, goddess of the silver moon, join with us as power builds, dance with us our witch's rune. Father of the summer dew, hunter of the winter snows, with open arms we welcome you, dance with us as power grows.
Sanctuary Network Podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.